Welcome back to Live from Seattle. Thanks so much for being with us today. And thank you to State Senator Perry Dozier for joining us. We're talking about what's going to happen to the dams along the Snake River, which has a lot of impact in eastern Washington. And, you know, Senator, I saw Mike Simpson. He's a U.S. congressman from Idaho. He talked about last year that it would cost $34 billion to remove and replace the dam issue here. I mean, is that's a lot of money.
I believe that's very realistic. There again, you can't replace everything that is lost on this. The irrigation potential, especially that comes out of the first reservoir behind Ice Harbor Dam, which I'm very familiar with, irrigates 70,000 acres. And that 70,000 acres was not farmable prior to the dams being put in. I don't even know how you replace that level of revenue that is generated and jobs that are generated for our state. And I know that Representative Simpson is concerned about the salmon returning to Idaho, but he ought to look at his own state, because just up from Lewiston, Idaho, right there in Lewiston, you've got the confluence of the Clearwater River where it meets the Snake River. And if you go up the Clearwater River, there is a huge barrier to fish passage right there called the Dworshak Dam. It looks like a mini Hoover Dam. And you can go up the Snake River and you have the same thing. You have another fish passage dam problem. And these are spawning ground for these salmon. So it sounds like Simpson would really like to have the fish get to his region, but he's got to look at his own backyard. It's no different than, Tim, if we look at the Skagit. The Skagit River is about 160 miles long. It generates, you know, out of Canada, and I believe is the largest tributary that flows into Puget Sound, and it has all five species of salmon in it, which is the Chinook, Coho, Sockeye, the Pinks, and the Chum Salmon, and it has all five, but we have three dams there that have zero fish passage that goes into Puget Sound, which should be feeding the orcas if we have a salmon run. But those three dams also supply 20% of the electricity to the city of Seattle. But we're not even talking about removing those dams, yet they have no fish passage. All of our dams have fish passage.
So you're saying there's a double standard here?
Without a doubt, there is a double standard. But they're focusing on the four dams here. Now, I realize that there are a lot of issues that have come up with the return of the salmon and the numbers. But this year, the sockeye are record numbers coming down the Columbia. And a lot of that comes from good hatchery programs. Both the feds and the state have not kept up their hatchery programs. And I think that's one of the big issues there, too, is we have to work together and advance technology rather than look at something that is so dramatically drastic as removing the dams, because this will be a move that you cannot go backwards on and change it again later and say it didn't work. We saw that with the spotted owl. So the same thing happened there. And spotted owl is still listed.
Yeah. What's for you, what's the best case scenario here where everybody can win?
You know, I really think with the advancements we've got, I know they put in a brand new turbine, the fish-friendly turbine down in the very first dam that was built at Ice Harbor. And I think if we continue to work, and we have to work in concert with everybody. I mean, this is important, obviously, for the tribes, and I understand that. But I don't believe that we can go dramatically clear back to prior to 1960 when we had the dams there. It will never be what it used to be. Our population is bigger. There's more pressures on our rivers. Let's continue with our technology and try to work together, whether it's a hatchery program, whether it's moving it. We need to look at the predation and the fishing that's going on out in the oceans. I've talked to commercial fishermen, and there are things going on out in our ocean with some other countries that, you know, with netting and losing our fish. We need to look at some of those other conditions also. And what's going on in Puget Sound? If we don't have the numbers of salmon in Puget Sound for the orcas, is there another issue? Is it the sewage issue that's going into the sound from Seattle? Is it the fact that we can't get the salmon returning from down the Skagit? Where is it? Is it the predation down at the mouth of the Columbia River that we need to look at? There are other issues there, too. If we're able to return 95 to 98% of our smolts from up above Lower Granite Dam all the way down to below Bonneville, and we can't get them back because they're getting eaten out in the ocean, what's going on there?
And Perry, you have a lifetime in kind of understanding agriculture, and you're a lifetime farmer. You kind of have a understanding of some of these things that perhaps others in, or some of your colleagues may not. I mean, tell us about how your experience as a lifetime farmer has really helped you understand some of the issues you're facing now.
Well, I think one of the things about being a farmer, we really protect the environment. We're not just out here taking from Mother Earth and for all that we can, because this is what our livelihoods are, and we need to protect it. We've made tremendous advancements in agriculture, in how we do our farming. We have less erosion. We don't have the wind erosion. Even now with our irrigation practices, it's unbelievable how much less water we can use to raise crops because of those advancements that we have had. And sometimes that gets lost with people that are so removed from agriculture. We have a vested interest in it. I have a vested interest in also the habitat in our rivers. As a county commissioner here in Walla Walla, I served on the Snake River Salmon Recovery Board for 8 years and the Walla Walla Watershed Partnership Board for 8 years, working with environmentalist groups and also the tribes on what we can do for restoration of our streams and have a healthy way to work in concert with farms, fish, family, and to make this work.
What was it like, Senator, to grow up in a farming family and have that from just early on in your life? That must have been quite an experience.
Well, it was pretty amazing to watch the transformation of ground that, like I said before, was never farmable. And you couldn't even run sheep on them. It was so dry. I mean, we're talking such an arid part of Southeast Washington that if you got 5 inches of rain a year, you're probably lucky there in places. Now it's a tremendous agricultural area there, and also in southern Benton County. And it's made possible, obviously, by irrigation. And again, there's a balancing act to do that. But I don't think that you can replace, when they talk, I've read some of the reports that said we can replace the things that are lost. That part of it, I don't believe that you will be able to replace. And I'd like somebody to explain to me how we can. They said, yeah, we can drill the well another 100 feet deeper or something. Well, reality is that Department of Ecology hasn't issued a deep water well permit in 30 years. And you have to go well below 100 feet deeper. And then are we doing something we shouldn't be doing?
Talking to State Senator Perry Dozier, raised in the 16th Legislative District. Got to go to a quick commercial, but stay with us. We'll be right back on Live from Seattle.
You found the right spot for Live from Seattle with Tim Gatos, 820 AM, The Word. We'll be right back.
Driveway wants to know, what's your happy place? Chilling out at a backyard barbecue? Watching a football game on the 50-yard line? Or maybe just sitting on the beach soaking up the sun? Wherever your happy place is, think about yourself buying or selling a car from there. Welcome to Driveway.com, where you can feel completely in control of your car buying or selling experience. At Driveway, we believe in transparency and offer you our best price up front to keep you in the super chill zone. Buy or sell your next car from your happy place at Driveway.com.
The following is paid for by Third Home. Do you own a vacation home? How would you like access to leverage it for world travel without the hassle or expense of renting? Third Home is the members-only luxury property and travel club that opens your world to exquisite rent-free travel. The Economist reported Third Home to be the secret to scoring a vacation home that's practically free. Find out how it works. Call for your free information now. 800-201-1894. 800-201-1894.
As a farmer, I want a cooperative that's there for me.
Not the other way around.
A local co-op that works for me and works with CHS.
To connect me with local experts I know and trust.
And put a global network of markets and supply at my fingertips.
A co-op that's here to help us.
Own every day.
When you're an owner of a local cooperative connected to CHS, you get local expertise, a proven efficient supply chain, and global market access. Learn more at cooperativeownership.com.
Pro bonus days are here at Lowe's. Earn points when you spend and save on the brands you trust, like Frigidaire Easy Care appliances. Upgrade properties with easy-to-clean stainless steel appliances with innovative features. During Pro Bonus Days, you earn points by buying Frigidaire Easy Care, then redeem those points for products in our reward center. Shop Frigidaire Easy Care during Pro Bonus Days, only at Lowe's. MVP's Pro Reward Program subject to program terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/L/Pro Loyalty Terms. Subject to change.
When you love riding a motorcycle, you want to ride it everywhere, even getting a dental checkup.
Mr. Carter, wouldn't you prefer the chair?
I'm fine on my bike, Doc.
Well, let me know if you feel any discomfort.
And when you love saving money, you want to save even more. That's why GEICO makes it easy to bundle your motorcycle and car insurance.
All done, Mr. Carter. Remember to brush, floss, and lubricate your drive chain regularly.
Kickstart your savings with GEICO Motorcycle. Bundle and save on the things you love.
Live from Seattle with Tim Gatos continues on 820 AM. The Word.
Hey, we welcome you back here to the program. Happy Friday to you. We're so glad to have State Senator Perry Dozier with us, representing the 16th Legislative District. And Senator, I wanted to ask you, we got a significant midterms coming up, got the primaries in just a couple weeks. What do you see happening? There's certainly a lot of division in our society. Is there ways to come together? But at the same time, there's also some pretty big divides as well. How do you see the upcoming midterms going, particularly here in the state of Washington?
You know, Tim, that's a really good question. As you know, I just have only gone through two sessions here. I've experienced what it's like on the outside to come to Olympia and testify in the various capacities that I did, whether it was with the Wheat Growers Association 20 years ago or as a county commissioner prior to this. And you could see a stronger camaraderie and understanding and communication between the Democrats and the Republican sides. And what I experienced here the last 2 years, and especially I think the fact that we've had remote sessions, has extremely divided it. We don't have the opportunity to speak to one another and spend time eye to eye and discussing sensitive issues that are so important, and coming to a conclusion that is for the best of all of Washington. it has, to me, become very partisan. And I saw that the last 2 years, especially with legislation that was passed and votes as they were taken. My hopes are that as we move forward, we can change that. I think, but you're right, it's very pivotal going into this fall, because the fact that we have been so divided, people are going to be making their minds up on who they feel can represent all of Washington to the best, I don't want to say the best of their ability, but for the best of the state, and not be have such a strong division. And I think that there's going to be, I honestly feel there's going to be some significant changes as we move forward.
What do you think those will be?
I think we have possibilities on our side, and Republicans, of gaining some positions. We have brought forth over the last 2 years tax policies that would extremely help the people of Washington State with tax relief, whether it be property tax relief or whether it was looking for relief from fuel taxes. I mean, we have got record inflation in this nation, and it's even higher in Washington State. And we have not done anything with addressing that, what is happening to the people here in this state. It's pretty sad on that part of it. And it's because of this division that we have. When we have a majority party that is basically driving the boat, we aren't getting things done for the people of Washington State. We are all, I mean, everybody in here in this state is feeling the effects of a really bad economy right now. What I mean by economy is the inflation side. Now, when you look at our state, record revenues. I mean, it's unbelievable the revenues that we're seeing. When I was campaigning, we were looking at going into 21, a $6 billion deficit. And since then, we've been at a $15 billion surplus. And the latest report puts us at another $1.5 billion above what was budgeted in the biennium.
So why is it then that Washington is the lone Democrat-controlled state not considering inflation tax rebate relief? States like California and many other Democratic controlled states. Washington is the lone one. Why is that?
You know, I really can't get in. I don't have a good answer for you, Tim, on that, why it is. I mean, I know we're one of, I think there's less than 10. I think there's 7 or 8 what they call trifecta states, where you have the governor and both chambers in control of one party. And for some reason here, we just haven't had that working relationship the last 2 years to come to a consensus, I think, with what is best for all of the people of Washington. It's been driven by one party side. Even when you look at some of the legislation, Tim, that was passed that went through and was vetoed by the governor, we had bills that had passed by over 2/3. And I was on a bill with one of my colleagues that's a Democrat, and it passed. We were co-sponsors on the bill, and it passed 100 unanimously, and it got vetoed. And we're not doing anything about it. They're not calling a special session to override these vetoes. Why?
Yeah. Well, there are 14 states that are considered, as you said, the Democratic trifecta states.
Okay, 14. Thank you.
There's 14, and all of them, except Washington, are bringing some sort of tax relief to taxpayers. You know, it's California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, and Rhode Island. And in Colorado and Oregon, tax cuts and refunds are automatic when tax revenues exceed spending. We're the lone ranger here. It's almost befuddling to understand why.
Well, I guess to put it straight out, the way I see it is, we aren't getting any help from the Democrat majority right now to go in and address this. We have tried for 2 years for a special session, first of all, to address emergency powers, and even now to address the situation that we have with the economy or the inflation level in this state and looking for some type of a tax relief. But the majority Democrat leaders on the other side will not engage to go forward to do that with us. And that is very frustrating because, again, this is affecting everybody, whatever political side of the aisle you're on. This is a statewide issue, and we should be working for all of the people of the state and not letting the governor be the one that's driving the boat forward right now, is my honest opinion, Tim.
Well, speaking of the governor, he's still, as of today, I believe, is still operating under a state of emergency. He's not committing to when he'll end that. And he also announced recently he's going to continue to make vaccination a job requirement for state workers. What do you think of that?
That has been a very tough issue that has come up. First of all, him still having emergency powers, again, is something that is unfathomable why he should have them. And again, it is the fact that we can't get together as a legislature and change those. As for making the vaccination and the booster as a requirement, for employment still. We saw what happened when he first did that. We lost a lot of long-term employees, a lot of them that I know, whether they were on Washington State Department of Transportation, and of course, being here in the 16th District in Walla Walla, we have the Washington State Penitentiary. We've lost a lot of our people in that system. So what has that caused? It's caused a shortage of personnel that are working. We're behind. Just recently, I had two days ago, I had a conversation with somebody from State Parks and asked, how come one of our state parks isn't open down here? We don't have enough people to man them. So if you're going to turn around and continue to make these requirements, we already see that regardless of, and I'm not anti-vax, I'm for those to make that decision on their own, but by forcing them or firing them, that becomes taking that choice away from you, and it is putting a strain on our workforce here in the state, Tim.
When Governor Inslee was asked recently what metric he's using to decide when to lift his COVID emergency declaration, he said, quote, when it's no longer useful for the health of Washingtonians, end quote. I'll be honest. I just cannot even believe there's not more people just saying, what in the world is happening? This is, why are we entering into authoritarian territory here and giving this kind of overreaching power to this governor? I just don't get it.
You know, it has been so long. I know we got to be approaching 600 days now. I know it was 580 not too long ago. It's got to be 590 plus right now. And it's almost like you become immune to it because it was such a big thing earlier. And it's like, oh, my gosh, now, you know, it's just, you know. But what's going to happen, though, that I see here with that is, we will never get that ability as a legislature to do the things that we were elected to do, and that's represent the people that put us in office, because he still has that authority. And that's where I struggle with this, is why we do not get a special session, do what we have to do with the emergency powers. I understand that it is something that needs to be in place, but not in issues like this where it just goes on and on and on. But it's just been dropped again by, I'll say it, the majority party will not engage to take that away.
Yeah. For you, Senator, what's the future look like for you? Are you going to continue in this public service? Is this something that you've enjoyed doing? What do you have for your hopes for the future?
I tell you, I really like my job that I have now, being elected as a state senator. Like I say, I served before as a county commissioner. I had 4 years off before I was elected here to come to the Senate. Even though I still farm, I really like what I'm doing. I feel that I can represent the people of Eastern Washington and my district and try to bring some insight into the east side, to our west side legislators of the importance of this state as one state and not a division of two different sides. And so I intend on staying in this position as long as the people would like me to be here and elect me back into office.
How long does your term run till?
I'm only in my second year, so I will be running again in 2024 and hopefully get another 4 years after that.
So you've made the decision to run again?
When I took this position, just like I did when I was a county commissioner, I made the decision to do it for two terms because I always feel you will never be effective in such a short amount of time because you have so much to learn. And I hope to become more effective as I get through it. Yes.
Excellent. And last question, where should folks visit when they come to Walla Walla? Where should they go? What restaurant should they go to?
You can't do wrong when you come into downtown Walla Walla anymore. We have some phenomenal restaurants. We have the Walla Walla Steak Company. It is just fantastic if you like steaks and seafoods. If you like Italian, it's T-Max. It is just absolutely excellent. We have Hathaway's. I mean, I could name off so many of them. Come down, enjoy Walla Walla. It's got a great downtown, especially during the summer where they got music on weekends. So lots of streeteries. You can eat out on the streets. Come visit us.
Senator, so great to have you on Live from Seattle today. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, thanks so much for the opportunity to talk to you. You guys take care and look to visit with you in the future.